Imagine for a second that you are walking down a super noisy, just chaotic street in New York City.
Right, plenty of distraction.
Exactly. And you pull out your phone, you bypass all the text messages, and you just open an app.
Okay.
You tap the glass screen maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, verify your face ID, and just like that, you have purchased a $10 million Picasso masterpiece.
Just like buying coffee.
Yeah, you bought it with the exact same ease, the exact same speed, and literally the exact same user interface as buying a single share of Apple stock or, ordering a ride share.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. But here is the truly wild part about this whole scenario. That physical canvas, the actual painting, it never moves a single inch.
Not 1 millimeter.
Right. It is currently sitting thousands of miles away, locked inside this pitch black, heavily fortified, climate-controlled vault in Singapore.
Safe and sound.
Exactly. It was sitting in that dark room long before you bought it, and it stays in that exact same dark room after the transaction completely settles. The funds transfer instantly, the legal ownership transfers instantly, but the actual atoms making up that priceless canvas remain completely untouched.
And that, I mean, that represents a fundamental paradigm shift in how we think about property.
Yeah.
We are looking at the absolute decoupling of physical custody from commercial trade. The object just stays put while the value becomes, well, hyperliquid.
And that concept is basically the mission of today's deep dive. We are looking at a highly detailed business plan alongside this brand new April 3, 2026 research report from De Reticular.
Right, regarding their Privada 2.0 global liquidity protocol.
Yes, the Privada protocol. Our goal today is to understand how Privada is attempting to build what they are calling the Visa network for physical reality.
It's a bold claim.
Very bold, because they are targeting a massive, highly illiquid market. We're talking the $2 trillion plus sector of high value physical assets.
So fine art, luxury watches, rare vintage automobiles, top tier collectibles.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this, because before we can understand how their new technology actually achieves this instant teleportation of value, we need to understand the fundamental friction in the old world.
The old way of doing things.
Right. Like, why hasn't someone done this already? What is the foundational roadblock in the traditional luxury market that Privada has to eliminate first?
Well, to really understand that roadblock, we have to look at what the logistics industry calls the trilemma of high-value physical asset trading.
The trilemma.
Yeah, the trilemma. Anytime you are dealing with a multi-million-dollar object, there are these three massive competing forces just constantly pulling against each other.
Okay, what are they?
You've got physical security, unforgeable provenance, and buyer anonymity.
Security, provenance, anonymity.
Right. And the problem is that, historically anyway, if you tried to maximize one of these elements, you inevitably had to sacrifice at least one of the others.
Let's ground that in reality for a second. Walk us through how those three forces actually clash when, say, someone tries to sell a physical masterpiece.
Okay, let's say you want absolute, impenetrable physical security for a rare, multi-million-dollar Rolex watch.
Okay.
You lock it in a subterranean vault in a Geneva freeport. It is perfectly safe from theft. Nobody is getting to it.
Sure.
But by sealing it behind 3 feet of steel, you have completely sacrificed provenance.
Because no one can see it.
Exactly. Provenance is the irrefutable proof of authenticity in state. How do you easily prove to a prospective buyer sitting in Tokyo that the watch is actually still inside that metal box?
Right, that it hasn't rusted or that it isn't just a clever forgery.
Without flying them out to physically hold it, you
Yeah.
can't.
You literally have to take it out.
And the second you pull that watch out to display it and prove its provenance, you've just destroyed its physical security.
Oh, wow.
You've introduced the risk of a handler dropping it, or maybe a coordinated robbery during transit.
Right.
And on top of that, the moment you start moving these assets around on armored trucks, hiring specialty insurance underwriters, exhibiting them in private viewing rooms,
You lose the third pillar.
exactly, you completely destroy buyer anonymity. High net worth collectors often demand absolute discretion.
They don't want people knowing their business.
They definitely do not want the public or even the transport companies knowing they just dropped $5 million on a timepiece.
So this trilemma is basically the reason the multi-trillion dollar luxury market still moves at a glacial pace.
It relies on a labyrinth of armored cars, massive insurance premiums, physical handshakes, and honestly, archaic paper certificates.
Which is an incredibly inefficient way to move capital. I mean, it's like trying to day trade the S&P 500 by mailing physical paper stock certificates back and forth on a horse-drawn carriage.
That's a good way to put it.
Pravada's core thesis is to essentially stop fighting the trilemma by stopping the physical movement entirely.
Right, just leave the asset alone.
Let the masterpieces remain immobilized in those subterranean vaults where physical security is already maximized.
Yes.
And instead, the ownership of the item is traded globally via these cryptographically verified digital twins.
Exactly. It eliminates the astronomical shipping costs.
It erases the risk of a baggage handler accidentally stepping on your Picasso.
And it bypasses those massive transit insurance premiums.
So it's like teleportation for commerce. The value moves instantly, but the atoms stay put.
That's the goal.
But wait, I have to push back here because this sounds incredibly familiar. Haven't people tried doing this exact thing with NFTs a few years ago?
Yes.
I mean, the whole crypto craze was full of platforms claiming they had tokenized real-world assets. What makes Pravada any different from just some guy taking a digital photo of a Rolex, minting a token on a blockchain, and calling it a day?
That is the crucial distinction, and frankly, it's exactly why those early NFT attempts largely failed to gain real traction in the high-end physical asset space.
Because it was just a picture.
Because taking a picture and minting a token relies entirely on human trust. The blockchain itself might be perfectly secure, right? But the link to the physical world is incredibly weak.
You're just trusting the person who uploaded the photo.
Exactly. You are trusting that the guy who minted the token actually put the watch in the vault. And more importantly, you're trusting that he didn't sneak in and take it out the next morning.
Right.
Pravada solves this critical vulnerability by introducing a concept called a hardware oracle.
A hardware oracle.
Yes, this is not a digital photograph or a pinky promise from a vault manager. A hardware oracle is an active, heavy-duty physical machine that actively anchors the digital ownership token to physical reality in real time.
Okay, so it's a physical bridge.
Exactly. Is a closed-loop system constantly proving to the network that the physical object is exactly where it is supposed to be, completely eliminating the human element and preventing spoofing.
Which means Pravada isn't just a software company. They have to actually manufacture physical hardware to bridge that gap.
They do.
And the courses note that Dearticular is custom building this heavy-duty gear at their Node 3 workshop down in Arizona.
Yeah, the Node 3 facility.
So let's talk about the machinery. If I walk into one of these global free ports, what is this hardware oracle actually going to look like?
Well, the primary piece of hardware installed inside the vault is called the Sentinel, or sometimes they refer to it as the Panopticon node.
Panopticon, okay.
Imagine a highly sophisticated ceiling-mounted security rig, but instead of hovering over a single painting, it faces a 20-foot reinforced wall.
A whole wall.
Yeah, they call this the zone defense system. One Sentinel monitors a wall containing anywhere from 5 to 10 high-value assets simultaneously.
Oh, that makes sense. From a business perspective, that's a brilliant architectural choice because it drastically lowers the capital expenditure.
Exactly.
You aren't building a bespoke sensor suite for every single watch. You are monitoring an entire zone to drop the cost per asset.
That's the exact logic.
Okay, so this Sentinel rig is staring at a wall of priceless artifacts. But, you know, a standard security camera can be fooled by a high-resolution photograph placed in front of the lens. How is this thing actually verifying reality?
Because it is seeing in dimensions that humans cannot even perceive.
Okay, Sapphire.
It's true. The Sentinel primarily relies on volumetric LIDAR.
LIDAR!
Yes. This is an advanced laser scanning system that maps the physical 3D space of the vault by bouncing millions of light pulses off the objects.
Like self-driving cars use.
Exactly like that. And it operates with a 10 hertz refresh rate.
Wait, 10 hertz? So it updates its three-dimensional map 10 times every single second.
Every single second. And its sensitivity is, frankly, staggering. It can detect a volumetric physical shift in the space as small as 2 millimeters.
2 millimeters, that is barely the thickness of a US nickel.
Precisely. So if a painting sags slightly on its hanging wire over a few months, or if the canvas micro expands due to a slight humidity change, the LIDAR registers it.
Wow.
But capturing the physical volume isn't enough. Someone could theoretically replace the real Picasso with a perfect 3D printed replica of the exact same dimensions.
Right, if they had the specs.
So to guarantee unforgeable provenance, the Sentinel pairs the LIDAR with a PTZ multispectral camera.
PTZ, pan, tilt, zoom.
You got it. This camera physically patrols the assets on the wall, scanning them at 300 pixels per inch.
And multispectral means it's looking beyond just visible light, right?
Yes. It is looking for what Diverticular calls spectral provenance.
Spectral provenance.
It isn't just capturing a visual image. It is actually analyzing the chemical fingerprint of the pigments under different wavelengths of light.
Oh, wow.
It maps the exact microscopic topography of the brushstrokes and the unique weave of the canvas itself.
So it's basically taking a DNA swab of the art.
Basically, it essentially creates a mathematical, unforgeable baseline of reality. If a single brushstroke reflects light differently because, say, a forger used a modern synthetic blue pigment instead of the 1920s lapis lazuli the artist originally used, the Sentinel flags it immediately.
That is insane. Okay, so that covers the vault in Singapore. Yeah. But we have a buyer sitting in a gallery in New York who needs to actually see what they are spending $10 million on.
Right, the buyer experience.
The sources mention a counterpart to the Sentinel called the satellite or the gallery node. Put the listener in the shoes of that prospective buyer. What is their experience interacting with this hardware?
Okay, so if you are the buyer, you walk into a high-end boutique gallery in London or Manhattan.
Nice.
You don't look at a grainy Zoom feed on a laptop. The satellite node features an 8K telepresence projector.
8K.
Yeah. It pulls the live multispectral feed directly from the Sentinel in the vault and projects it onto a wall in the gallery. The resolution is so immense that it feels like you could reach out and trace the brushstrokes yourself.
That's incredible.
And the gallery director controls this feed using a piece of hardware called a sovereign key.
A sovereign key.
Which appears to be a highly customized cryptographic YubiKey that physically pairs the satellite to the specific Sentinel.
That is an incredible sensory experience, but looking at all these hypersensitive sensors, a highly practical question comes to mind.
Go for it.
If the LiDAR inside the vault is so aggressive that it catches a 2 millimeter shift, what happens when a vault cleaning crew comes in on a Tuesday and accidentally bumps a broom handle against the wall?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Or what if a technician just needs to climb a ladder to change an overhead light bulb? Doesn't a system this sensitive trigger a massive global panic every time someone sneezes in the Freeport?
It is a very real operational hazard, and a barrage of false alarms would instantly destroy the network's credibility.
Right. No one wants the alarm going off every day.
Exactly. So the engineering team anticipated this friction. The mitigation built into the protocol is called maintenance mode.
Maintenance mode.
When authorized physical services required inside the vault-like cleaning or climate control maintenance, the Freeport staff cannot simply unlock the door and walk in.
Because the alarms would trip.
Right. A heavily vetted vault director must physically tap their own authorized sovereign key directly on the Sentinel node's chassis.
Oh, physical contact.
Yes. This explicitly pauses the volumetric sensors for a pre-approved service window.
Smart.
It creates an immutable cryptographic log on the network that the system was legally blinded for a specific duration by an authorized human actor.
Okay, so the hardware is locked down. We have LiDAR, multispectral chemical analysis, and physical keys preventing false alarms.
The physical layer is solid.
But here is the next massive hurdle. A heavy-duty sensor in a dark vault is entirely useless if it cannot instantly and securely communicate that physical data to a buyer in New York without tipping off a hacker.
That's the real challenge.
How does this massive amount of raw sensory data translate into an impenetrable digital ledger?
The software architecture handling this data pipeline is called the Trinity Fork.
The Trinity Fork.
It's a tripartite structure, meaning it strategically splits the workload across three distinct layers.
To balance things out.
Right, to balance processing speed, public transparency, and absolute buyer privacy. The first layer is the Edge layer, which is powered by a custom operating system called Privada OS.
And by edge, we mean the actual computation is happening locally, right there on the motherboard, inside the vault, rather than beaming everything up to an Amazon cloud server.
That's correct. The Sentinel node runs local YOLOV8 AI models.
YOLOV8?
Yes. This is crucial because it means the machine instantly detects those microscopic pigment anomalies or 2 millimeter volumetric shifts right at the source with zero latency.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't need to be massive, uncompressed 8K video files across the public internet just to ask a cloud server, hey, is the painting still there?
That would take way too long.
And it's risky.
Yeah.
The Sentinel knows instantly, which dramatically reduces the attack surface for hackers trying to intercept the feed.
Okay, so keeping the heavy processing local solves the latency and interception issues. But if I am a skeptical buyer, I am not going to just trust a closed-loop computer sitting inside a vault that I've never actually seen.
Of course not.
There has to be some sort of public proof that the rest of the world can verify, right? How does the network know the edge layer isn't just lying?
That requirement is handled by the second layer, the public layer.
Okay.
This runs on a decentralized network architecture, referred to in the sources as Freenet or Locutus.
Locutus.
Right. This public layer hosts what they call the Privata score.
The Privata score.
Think of it as a public uptime and integrity rating for every physical asset in the ecosystem.
Like a credit score for the art.
Basically, anyone in the world can pull up the ledger and see, asset number 409 has been perfectly secure, physically untouched, and spectrally verified for 99.99% of the last calendar year.
Oh, that's really
It
cool.
provides total public transparency regarding the object's reality, but, and this is the critical part, it does so without revealing who actually owns the asset.
Which brings us to the third layer because someone has to actually pay for this thing.
Exactly.
How do you settle a $10 million transaction transparently without revealing the buyer's identity?
The final piece is the private layer. This utilizes a cryptographic method called ZK rollups, which stands for zero knowledge rollups.
Zero knowledge rollups.
This is the layer that handles the actual financial settlement using USDC stablecoins or traditional fiat currency.
Okay.
It allows a high net worth individual to instantly execute the trade and settle the smart contract, all while perfectly hiding their identity and their wallet balance from the public ledger.
Wait, how can a public ledger possibly verify a multi-million-dollar transaction is legitimate if the network has zero knowledge of who is transacting or how much money they have?
It relies on advanced cryptographic proofs. ZK rollups allow one party to mathematically prove to another party that a specific statement is true without revealing any of the underlying data that makes the statement true.
Okay, let me see if I have this right. So if I'm understanding the mechanism here, it's essentially like a bouncer at a high-end nightclub.
Okay, I like this.
You walk up to the door, the bouncer checks your driver's license, verifies you are over 21, and hands the bartender inside a green token. The bartender knows with absolute mathematical certainty that you are legally allowed to buy a drink, but the bartender has absolutely no idea what your name is, where you live, or what your exact birth date is. The math proves the truth without exposing the data.
That is an excellent way to conceptualize it. It is literally a financial invisibility cloak.
I love that.
The public layer knows the painting exists and is safe, and the private layer mathematically ensures the funds are valid, but only the buyer holds the keys linking the two.
It's a really elegant solution.
What's fascinating here is how this software and hardware seamlessly integrate to solve the ultimate real-world worst-case scenario.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the Dureticular Research Report outlines a strategic physical risk they simply call the Ocean's 11 threat.
Oh, I love a good heist scenario. Let's hear it.
Imagine a highly sophisticated organized crime syndicate targeting a freeport. They don't try to pick the locks or bribe the guards.
Too messy.
Exactly. Instead, they perfectly coordinate a localized infrastructure blackout. They cut the main municipal power grid feeding the freeport, and simultaneously, they sever the underground fiber optic lines connecting the vault to the outside internet.
Total blackout.
The vault goes completely dark, completely offline, and physically isolated.
Okay, if they cut the power in the fiber, the system goes dark. Usually, when that happens, a digital system just times out. The main server in another country just assumes the Wi-Fi dropped.
Right, it assumes a glitch.
The network wouldn't actually know a heist was occurring until the vault manager arrived the next morning.
Exactly. But Privata has engineered a failover for this exact vulnerability. The sources call it the Nomad Link.
The Nomad Link.
Inside every single Sentinel node buried in the chassis, there's an air-gapped LTE cellular bridge. And crucially, the schematics describe it as battery eliminated.
Wait, if there's no internal battery backup, how does the cellular bridge fire off a signal when the thieves just cut all the power to the building?
It uses advanced capacitors. These capacitors hold just enough kinetic and residual electrical charge to fire off a single instantaneous burst of data.
Oh, wow.
The exact millisecond the local power grid drops or the fiber connection is severed, before the Sentinel system even fully powers down, the Nomad Link uses that residual charge to blast an integrity alarm straight to the decentralized Locutus network.
Over standard cellular frequencies.
Exactly.
So it acts like a biological reflex. If you
Yeah.
accidentally touch a burning hot stove, your spinal cord instantly fires a reflex to pull your hand back before your brain even fully processes the pain.
That's a great analogy.
The node is firing a distress signal with its dying breath.
Yes.
The network instantly knows the physical vault is under attack, automatically freezing any potential digital trades and alerting local authorities, even if the building is completely dead.
It's an airtight failsafe.
The technology is frankly mind-blowing. But let's shift gears, because having the best tech in the world doesn't matter if no one actually uses it.
Right, adoption is everything.
The luxury art world is notoriously conservative. How does Pravada actually convince ancient European vaults and traditional art dealers to adopt this radically invasive new system?
They achieve adoption through a highly aggressive, deeply pragmatic operational strategy that the business plan explicitly calls infecting the infrastructure.
Infecting the infrastructure. That sounds intense.
It is. Pravada realized early on that trying to build their own high-security, technologically advanced warehouses from scratch around the world would require billions in capital and decades of trust building.
Yeah, that would take forever.
So they made a strategic decision to not build a single warehouse.
Instead, they partner with the existing heavyweights who already hold the market captive.
Exactly.
The sources mention they are actively targeting the big five global freeports fortresses like the Geneva Freeport, Malka Emit, and Crozier.
The biggest players.
These locations already hold hundreds of billions of dollars in art and luxury goods. But why would a traditional old-school vault director let a tech startup bolt lasers and multispectral cameras to their walls?
Because the financial incentive is simply undeniable. Historically, a physical vault makes its money by charging a flat monthly fee for passive storage.
Like a storage unit.
It is essentially a low-margin real estate play. Pravada comes in and flips that model. They offer to install the Sentinel arrays completely for free.
Free installation.
Free. And in exchange, the vault receives a 0.5% transaction fee for every single asset in their custody that gets traded on the Pravada network.
Wow. They are essentially turning passive dusty storage units into active high-frequency profit centers.
And it works.
And by doing that, Pravada brilliantly turns the vault directors, who already have the deep trust and the Rolodexes of the billionaires, into a highly incentivized global sales force.
Yes.
The vault directors are the ones calling their wealthy clients saying, hey, let's digitize your Picasso onto the Pravada ledger. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Let's hear it.
Let's walk through what the business plan calls a flash sale to see this entire ecosystem actually operate.
Okay, tying it all together.
Put yourself back in the shoes of that buyer. You walk into the boutique gallery in London. You want to buy that specific $10 million timepiece stored in Geneva.
Right.
The gallery director takes out that sovereign key, which the report aptly calls the authentication gavel, and physically inserts it into the console.
The connection is made.
Instantly, the Sentinel in Geneva wakes up. It runs a volumetric LiDAR sweep and a multispectral scan, verifying the watch is physically pristine and chemically authentic.
Proving provenance.
The 8K projection goes live on the gallery wall. You, the buyer, are satisfied. You scan a dynamic QR code on the screen with your phone.
The transaction begins.
The ZK Rollup smart contract mathematically verifies your funds without revealing your identity. The money transfers, the digital title deed updates to your wallet, and the trade is entirely settled in a matter of seconds.
And the watch never leaves Switzerland.
And for facilitating this frictionless miracle, Pravada takes a 2.5% VIG, or commission, on the overall sale.
That's their cut.
But I have to play the skeptic here, because this sounds like a massive glowing target for government regulators, specifically the SEC.
The regulatory hurdle.
Aren't these digital tokens just unlicensed securities? Couldn't a federal regulator look at this billion-dollar network and just shut the whole thing down overnight?
Regulatory intervention is absolutely the most significant existential threat they face. However, Pravada has structured their entire legal and technical framework specifically to bypass the SEC hurdle.
Really?
The reason so many previous tokenized asset platforms ran afoul of regulators is because they relied on fractionalization.
Slicing it up.
Right. They would take a $10 million painting, digitally slice it into a million $1 tokens, and let retail investors trade them, hoping the price would go up.
Which sounds like a stock.
Because it is.
Yeah.
The SEC views that dynamic as an expectation of profit derived from the efforts of others, which is the classic textbook definition of an investment contract or a security.
So how does Pravada avoid triggering that definition?
Pravada strictly and unequivocally prohibits fractionalization at the base protocol level.
No slicing.
None. Every single token minted on their network is a one-to-one indivisible title deed to a specific whole physical asset.
Okay.
If you buy the token, you own the entire physical painting, full stop. You possess the legal right to fly to the Geneva Freeport, present your cryptographic token as proof of ownership, and literally walk out the front door with a physical canvas under your arm.
So it's actual ownership.
Because of this strict 1.1 relationship, the transaction is governed entirely by traditional physical property law and commercial codes, rather than investment contract law.
Wow.
From a legal standpoint, transferring the token is no different than handing someone the physical keys to a car.
That is an incredibly clever legal moat. And if they can maintain that regulatory clarity, the financial scale they are projecting is staggering.
It really is.
Looking at their 10-year pro forma in the business plan, they are starting relatively conservatively. They're seeking a $3 million seed round to manufacture the first 400 Sentinel units.
A modest start.
But jump forward to year 10, and they project having 12,500 nodes deployed globally, actively monitoring and facilitating instant trades for roughly $62 billion in high-value physical assets.
$62 billion.
They are attempting to forcefully drag the trillion-dollar, incredibly slow-moving old world into the high-velocity, instantly liquid new world.
If we connect this specific platform to the bigger picture, what we are really witnessing here is the ultimate realization of DePIN.
DePIN.
Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Networks. For years, the concepts of cryptography, blockchain, and instant liquidity have lived entirely trapped in the digital realm. Pravada is finally crossing the chasm into reality.
Merging the two.
They are literally transforming inert concrete freeports into high-frequency trading servers. They are turning the heavy physical world into a digital API that can be queried, verified, and traded at the exact speed of light.
So what does this all mean for you? It means the fiction of physical distance. The friction of trusting a distant buyer, trusting a seller, or paying an expensive middleman to verify reality is actively being erased by a combination of industrial hardware and zero-knowledge cryptography.
It's erasing borders for physical goods.
We are rapidly entering an era where the weight, the fragility, and the geographical location of a physical object no longer dictate how quickly its value can move across the globe.
Truly frictionless.
But I want to leave you with a final, slightly philosophical thought to mull over today.
Lay it on us.
If a beautiful, masterful painting is perfectly digitized by multispectral cameras, legally locked away in a climate-controlled, pitch-black box for the rest of eternity, and traded exclusively as an ultra-liquid financial asset by investors who never actually look at it in person.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I mean, traded by investors who never look at it in person. What happens to the cultural value of the art?
That's a great question.
Does it cease to be art entirely and simply become a high-tech financial derivative trapped in the dark?
Something to ponder.
It is definitely something to think about the next time you find yourself casually browsing for a Picasso on your phone while waiting for your morning coffee. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the Pravada protocol. We'll catch you on the next one.